Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders. So spent the entire weekend this week trying to take all of my podcasts. I've done, I think there's like 142 episodes now. There might be more than that. And put them onto YouTube. Now, the idea behind, I never thought of doing this before. My thought was I have the YouTube videos. Those are one avenue, one way of getting information across. And we started the podcast. And every once in a while, I would mention the podcast on YouTube only because there's always somebody that will come on in the comments section and go, oh my gosh, I never even knew you had a podcast. So it's more, it's not so much I'm trying to beg people to come over there, but it's more of raising awareness. I know some folks that watch the videos and also follow the podcast have been like, you really don't promote the podcast enough on the videos. You probably should do that. And I obviously have a much wider audience over there. So every once in a while, I like to throw something up. But I've had a lot of people mention the fact that I should do something, put them up on the website or on YouTube as well. So people that want to listen to it there can do it because a lot of people will throw on the YouTube playlist of a podcast and just play it right on through, much the same way other people would use a service like Stitcher or iTunes or whatever they're using. So I was thinking about it, and then finally I'm like, all right, let's do this. In my mind, I thought it was going to be rather simple. I did decide that I didn't want to put the podcast up on my normal Tom's Big Spiders channel because people that are coming there are expecting to see videos. They want to see pictures. Maybe not the best done in the world, but they're going to see video of the spiders that I'm talking about. And I didn't want to start throwing up just the obvious, all they are is audio podcast, because I thought that would kind of turn people off. So I figured the best way to do it would be to create a separate channel for that. Now, I'm not into the dual channel thing normally, but I think, honestly, it's going to make it easier to kind of keep those separate. So people that want to just go over, throw on the podcast, they'll have the podcast. People that want to watch the videos will have the videos. So that sounded great. I created the new channel, and then I sat down to actually go, because you can't just throw up an MP3 onto YouTube. You have to turn it into a movie, which means me taking each and every one of these podcasts and turning them into an MP4, which I throw them on my program. I basically did a montage of some older spider pictures a while back. I used that just to have some type of image in the background while they're playing. I also broke out that old logo that was done by Elka Hayden a while back. She did it just for fun, and I absolutely adored it. Asked for permission to be able to use it. So it has its own logo now for the podcast. Started putting all these things together. Well, it's taking forever. What I didn't think about before I started doing this is the fact that rendering those videos takes time, and some of these podcasts are like an hour long. So normally when I do a YouTube video, we're talking maybe, you know, they go anywhere from 15 minutes to the longer ones are maybe a half hour, usually around the 20-minute mark or so, 18, 20 minutes. These are like 45 minutes, an hour, so it's taking forever to render. So I had a day off from school the other day. I'm like, I'm going to get a start on this, get going on it, get some of these things made. Well, I ended up doing 10 in the course of a day. It was taking forever just to do all the, you know, putting it together. So finally, we worked on it. I worked on it all Wednesday. I worked on it Saturday most of the day. I worked on it Saturday most of the night. We were watching a UFC event, and I kind of had that on for background noise. I was working on these. So I've got like 20-something up now on the site or on YouTube, which is great, but I'm looking at like that's only literally the first 20. I think I've got the first 22 episodes of season 2 up. I haven't even attempted season 1. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with season 1 because that was when I had kind of a not particularly expensive microphone, and I didn't really care so much about background noise and everything going around on around me. The sound was from episode to episode, it was terrible. I'm still not perfect with it, but it was really bad. So I want to try to clean those up a bit. And then what I think I'm going to start doing is throwing up the current episodes as I do them, or maybe within a week of me putting them up or posting them on Buzzsprout, so that there'll be some newer episodes. But the goal is to eventually have all of the entire library in playlists up on YouTube for people who want to listen to it that way. And I think hopefully what'll happen is some of the folks that will pick up on the YouTube, start listening to it there, will go over and check out the podcast over here. And again, I'm sure some people that will find the podcast will end up going up over and finding my videos, because that's happening a lot more lately, where I'm getting people that are like, yeah, I'm just here because I've been listening to the podcast, love the podcast, and wanted to check out the videos, which is the coolest thing ever. And again, for something that started off as kind of an experiment that I didn't think was going to go anywhere, it's become kind of my favorite avenue. A lot of people really like it, so that's really cool. So I will continue after I finish this today. I just put up a video on YouTube that basically ran one of my old podcasts and pointed people in the direction of this new page. They have this new YouTube channel, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully get some people over there. And again, I've got my work cut out for me as far as getting all of these up there. I couldn't believe I had Wednesday off, and I told Billy, I'm hoping to get like 50 of these things up. And between just the time of making the videos and then uploading them takes forever too. Yeah, it's going to take a while. So that's the goal anyway. So those that are on YouTube that won't bounce over there, say hello or have an extra spot to be able to subscribe to it. You know, the thing that finally convinced me, because I was trying to keep them separately, because in my mind, YouTube is videos, Buzzsprout is podcast, it's voice, two different things. It was pointed out to me that I make playlists on YouTube all the time and don't watch the music videos. I have like song music playlists and stuff that I put on when I'm working at work and when I'm here. So I figured that would be a cool way to do it. So anyway, that's how I've been spending a lot of my time. I did manage to get the video out yesterday. We're going to be doing the podcast today. So it's been a very busy weekend. Also, hopefully, pray for me. The move should be starting in just over a week. They have till the 24th to leave and get cleaned up and get out. I'm praying to God that happens. Billy and I are both freaking out because it's been a long wait and we're worried that they're not going to leave and that's going to get icky. But I've had folks go, hey, I hope the move went well. We haven't done it yet. This has been the weirdest situation ever where we basically bought the house and then had to allow them 2 months to be able to have more time to find a place to stay. So fingers crossed. I have so much to do, so many rehousings. I was through the tarantula room yesterday. I have 30 animals that I need that need rehousings like now. Like, we're not talking ones that I'm going to do for fun because I'm upgrading enclosures. We're talking about ones that need new houses, and I'm scrambling. I did the other day, I didn't even break out the cameras for it. I did 6 rehousings because I just needed to get them into something bigger. So really hope this goes down, because the idea will be over. Thanksgiving break will be setting up. I'll get the new tea room started, and then the goal will be to finish everything up by Christmas break and have everything set up and ready to go. And I really need that to happen. It's been a rough year, and I really want to get into that house and get things going. So that's the update on the moving, because I've had some people ask. Now, for today's topic, I received a comment on one of my videos from Travis Clinton about a week ago. He said, "Hi, Tom, great video." Thank you. I didn't mean to read that part. I have an idea what might make for a good podcast discussion. I would really like to get your opinion on the whole collecting tarantulas idea. Personally, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I know we all see them as pets and we love them, but sometimes when I hear people talk about their collection, it almost comes off as if they're treated like baseball cards. I know this isn't the case, but I would love to hear what you have to say about keeping them as pets versus the collection aspect of the hobby. This one hit home because I've struggled with this one for quite a while. So I was immediately excited when I read this comment, because I'm like, this is a perfect idea, because it's something that I go through quite a bit. And again, I think those that have listened to the podcast before, I've shared some of my backstory, how I, you know, grew up with animals. We grew up on a farm. It was kind of a hobby farm, but we ran it like it was the real deal. My father was actually a mailman by trade, but he had his whole family were farmers from growing up for years and years back, and he always wanted a farm. So we always had chores, just like we'd get up in the morning, we'd do our chores, we'd come home, we'd do our chores. And we were, my brother and I especially, were huge, huge, huge animal lovers. Absolutely loved animals. I always wanted, you know, my biggest thing as a kid is I'd see these movies with kids with, you know, pet dogs, and I wanted a pet dog, I wanted a pet cat. I wanted a pet anything. But the problem is, the way we were brought up and the way our farm worked is that you got animals, and basically the animals were only valued if they could bring in money, which means you didn't so much get pets. If you got a goat that you liked, that goat was yours until it could, you know, didn't have kids anymore, or until it got the age that it could be sold off for meat or whatever, for a pet. So basically, any animal you had was a commodity, and its worth was determined by how much money it could generate. I never subscribed to that. My brother didn't either. To us, they were pets. We had our pets. We tried to get our pets. We fought for pets because, you know, again, we knew that they were only going to last as long as they were bringing in money. So it was tough when I got into animals. When I first got like dogs, like we had dogs at our house. They were for guarding the farm and they were for hunting. That was it. They weren't pets. They weren't allowed in the house. It was back in the days where they would have kennels outside. They were not members of the family. So when we, you know, when Billy and I first moved out, started getting pets, I just wanted pets because I love animals. I love being around animals. I didn't want them to have it wasn't like we didn't pick up animals and go, I'm going to breed these and make money. That was like, actually, that was something that I had to be convinced to do, because my thing was I didn't want my animals to be commodities. My dogs are not particularly well trained. They're, you know, I've got three of them sleeping behind me right now. They're here because we absolutely love them. We adore them. Speaking of dogs, I'm one of those people that has a hard time. Like, I don't say I'm my dog's owner. I don't say I'm my dog's master. It's just this little thing I got. And I know people use it, and I'm not like, somebody says it, I don't sit there and go, how could you say that? But for me personally, they feel like members of the family. I love them to death. And as far as all the animals I have kept over the years, if I've done any breeding, it wasn't because I wanted to make money off of them. And I'm not telling people they shouldn't do this. That's a natural thing to do. When you get into a hobby, you start breeding. One of the perks is you can make money off them. But after growing up that way, where all animals were commodities, all animals were possessions, all animals were things. And that couldn't be further from the truth of what I believe about animals and how I treat my animals. So it was very easy to get away from that line of thinking. So when we got into tarantulas, the big thing was they're pets. I see them as pets. However, there's a caveat to that. And this is where I think things get, you know, when we get into the collection part, and I am going to come around about to that, but I'm trying to explain why I kind of wrestle with this one. They are pets to me, but people will go, well, why don't you name them? Why don't you name your dogs, you name your cats if you love them so much? They're a different type of pet. And I think hopefully people that are listening to this that are into the hobby and been there a while can agree. We love it. When we take them out and you see one, there is that genuine, you get that feeling almost akin to when you're petting your dog. Like when my dogs come over, you get that feeling of love, that little stirring. Like I see, you know, I watch them eat. I get that pride when I see one molt and come out. Like you get the same general types of feelings. But we're rational, intelligent, smart people, so we recognize at the end of the day, they're different than dogs because they're not going to show affection. So they're a different type of pet. With my dog, I'm going to put it on my lap, I'm going to hug them, I play with them. With tarantulas, it's hands off. That doesn't mean that at the same time, we don't adore our animals. You should read the comments, the emails I get from folks when they're talking about, even some folks that you wouldn't normally recognize as being overly sentimental in terms of their pets, the way they talk about their. Some guy messaged me the other day and he's like, you know, I have to say, I watched I believe it was his G. Polkra molted for the first time. And he goes, I was in awe. She was so beautiful. And I was like cheering her on. And I look, you know, you can see the little person's avatar. This is a big tattooed dude. And here he is just gushing over a spider molting. So I do believe the majority of us in the hobby, and this needs to be stated, do treat them like they are pets. Whether we name them, and I've talked about the naming thing. We do have some here that are named. I've gone over it before. But the thing is, for me, when I first got into the hobby, it was important for me to learn the scientific names. And if I took my G. Polkra and just started calling her, I don't know, Betty, I would never learn the term G. Polkra. So for a lot of us, and plus I wanted my family to start recognizing the name. So when we refer to them, it's the G. Polkra. It was more an attempt to learn names, not because I didn't like the spiders. And it can be, again, it's tough sometimes to come up with the names when you have 200 and something animals. Does that mean I don't love them and treat them with respect and treat them as living creatures? Absolutely not at all. So I think that needs to be put out there. The fact that the majority of us in the hobby do respect them as animals, do treat them as living things, do sometimes go overboard in what we treat them with in assigning them, you know, anthropomorphizing them, giving them human characteristics, convincing ourselves that they're showing us love and that they actually care about us, even though, quite frankly, if they even register us and they, you know, in their little spider brains, they see us up there. The best case scenario is probably when that big monster comes over, I get fed, you get something like that. So I don't think that the majority of the people in the hobby treat them as items, as possessions, as things. However, we need to point out the fact and the timeliness of this. I planned on doing this podcast as soon as I received that comment. And this morning I got up and somebody was talking about, it had to have been on my collection video where I toured my tarantula room. And they're like, it's so sad. You keep them all like you would display little figurines and they get no love from you or something like that. And I'm like, right there, that's what we're talking about. It's that piece of it that can kind of make the hobby look bad because we do talk about our collections. I have a hard time, and again, this is one of the reasons why this one hit home with me. I will refer to my collection, and I realize I don't like referring them to as my collection because it does insinuate that I'm seeing them or kind of lead you to believe that I'm referring to them as I would objects. And I think it's important we break that down so that maybe we can feel a little bit better about ourselves when we use that word, or maybe re-examine what exactly are we doing? Why do we need 200 tarantulas? We've gone into, you know, discussions about when you have too many, or, you know, how addictive the hobby is. Everybody talks about how addictive the hobby is, but why is it? Why do we have so many people that don't end up just getting two or three and go, hey, I have a couple tarantulas? I mean, one of our closest cousins, I think, in the pet trade would be probably, you know, the reptile trade. A lot of people will get different reptile snakes. You get, you know, one time I had 40 different snakes. So I do think that other hobbies have that collectability aspect to it, where you go out and get, you know, I want all the different, you know, I want a bunch of different color morphs of, say, a ball python, or I want, you know I loved boa constrictors. I had a bunch of different types of boa constrictors. I think it does, other hobbies have the same thing, where you end up, when there's different, when you're talking about beautiful animals that you can possibly, because they don't require as much space as some other pets, and they don't require as much maintenance as some other pets, you're able to get a bunch of them. You're able to get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever. I do think with those hobbies, with those types of animals, it does tend to attract those with the, for lack of a better term, the collector gene. Those of us who have always had collections, that have always, you know, picked up things and saved things and had action figures, comic books, baseball cards, stickers. I know, speaking of myself, and I've freely admitted this before, and God, if anybody ever gets time, you know, once the whole pandemic ends and Billy and I actually get out, our big thing is I want to start hitting some shows around here. I never like to leave my house, but now that we've been cooped up, it's like, I can't wait to go out. If you ever get to see us in an event and want to, you know, get an earful from Billy, just ask her how many things she's watched me collect over the years. I've always been a collector since I was a little kid. I've loved putting together collections. Right now, I can tell you just, and I've alluded to these before, I have a DVD Blu-ray collection that I'm very proud of. I collect Transformers. I was obsessed with Transformers as a kid. When I got older, long story there, but I have hundreds of Transformers, and I have, obviously, my tarantulas. So it would be a lie for me to try to convince people that there isn't, that my tarantula, room full of tarantulas isn't a collection. We can't pretend like it's not there. So I'm not even going to spend the time trying to convince people that we don't have collections. I think we have to kind of embrace the fact that the majority of us that get into having, you know, dozens of tarantulas, even hundreds of tarantulas, it's a collection. And why are we attracted to the hobby? Why does it fit so well with folks who have that, again, that collector's gene in them? Well, I think there's a lot of different aspects to it. We always joke about the Pokemon effect. You know, anybody that's played the Pokemon games, you try to catch them all. The idea is to grab every single one of those Pokemons. Billy and I played Blue and Red, I think it was, were the original ones back on the Game Boy way back, and loved it, obsessed with it. And it's a lot, we all joke, it's a lot like that, where you see one tarantula and you go, oh, it's beautiful, I got to get that. And then you get another tarantula, see another one, I need to have that one too. You got to catch them all. And again, I think if you just look at tarantulas as, you know, for a moment, we're going to pretend like they're just collectible items. I don't believe that in any shape or form, but if you take the fact they're animals out of it, let's look at some of the things that they have. They come in a variety of shapes and sizes and colors. Right there, something that attracts collectors. It's I can have yellow, I can have orange ones, I have green ones, I can have blue ones, I can have purple ones, big ones, small ones, hairy ones, sleek ones, ones that live in the ground, ones that live up top. There's a lot of different things about them that make one stand out from the other. So instead of there just being a handful of types you can look at and go, all right, you know what? I'm just going to get a G. Porteri and that's going to be it. I'm just going to get a C. Versicolor and that's going to be it. You get your C. Versicolor and you go, this thing's amazing. I love the way it climbs and webs and everything else. I would like to have one that lives on the ground. What else is out there? And you start making lists and wish lists. And next thing you know it, you've got a list of 20 different species you'd like to check out with notes on them. It's kind of like any other thing you would collect, baseball cards, comic books. You pick up a comic book, you enjoy a good comic book. What ends up happening? You go out and you go, oh, if this comic book's good, they have this other comic book they crossed over with, I'm going to check that one out as well. And this artist is over on this comic book, so I'm going to check that one out. Next thing you know it, you're buying 10 different types of comic books. It's the same type of psychology behind it, where you start going out and getting different things. Transformers, you go out, they just keep making more of these things. I keep buying more of them. I'm trying to relive my childhood. But tarantulas offer that shapes, sizes, types of setups. And that moves us into the next one. Most of us that collect something want to display it. We want to show it off. There's cards. There's all different types of card holders, the display cases, the little the books, albums that you can open up with the little sleeves in. There's all different ways to display it. Those of us that collect action figures, a lot of us have shelves we put up and we put the action figures up there and pose them in little, you know, diorama sets or whatever. Display is always an important part of any collection. You don't collect stuff to stick it, for the most part, stick it under your bed or stick it in a closet so nobody sees it. You want to be able to show it off to people that are interested. And tarantulas, again, fit that bill where we can set up these, you know, again, for those of us who are getting into bioactive enclosures, or at least we'll say putting plants in, there's ways to decorate those enclosures so that the enclosures become part of the display as well. So you have this beautiful enclosure, maybe a little slice of what it would look like where the tarantula actually comes from, its native environment, and then you have your beautiful tarantula in there. Those look incredible. And what happens is people set one of those up, they get a lot of joy out of it. It's fun, it's creative. Look at my tarantula, looks great. I've got those, like, this golden pothos going up. I've got the moss, I've got the leaves. It's webbing up beautifully. I want another one. I want to do it again. So you buy another spider and you set another spider up. So again, the display part of it is huge. There's so much. We just spent time doing a video where I showed off some new enclosure styles that I've been using. That's part of the hobby as well, going out and finding, it's not just the spiders, it's the setup of the spiders that becomes a big thing for a lot of us. You grab the spider's beautiful, you love the spider, you're proud to have the spider, you feel affection toward the spider, but then it becomes, what can we put this spider in to show it off? Something that fits the beauty of that animal, something that I can bring people over and just kick back with a beer and go, yep, there's my spider, I set that thing up. So I think for a lot of us, the display becomes part of it, just like for people that collect anything, the displaying your collection is a huge part. If you'd be lying if you said there wasn't some pride involved if you have any type of collection. I don't care what you're collecting, there is some pride. If you're collecting, you know, cards and you have a particularly expensive card, if you're collecting action figures, you have one that's selling for hundreds of dollars on eBay, video games, whatever it may be, there's pride that comes with it. And we all get a lot of pride off of talking about our tarantula collections, off of showing off our tarantula collections. That's a huge part of it. Now, the other thing tarantulas have going for them, which is like anything that you collect, when you collect something, generally you're not buying two or three of them, you're buying a lot of them. You know, obviously when we talk about comic books, cards, collectibles, things of that nature, toys even, you can buy 250 toys, and what a lot of people do is display some of them, and the other ones they'll put, you know, in little Tupperware boxes or something, so they're not taking up a lot of space. That becomes a big issue. That's when I always joke about there's a difference between collectors and hoarders. With collectors, everything's neat, organized, it's not overboard, it's not over the top. You're not, you know, stacking up Tupperware on your bed because you have no place to put it. Wherein hoarders are just kind of, they're collecting stuff, they're sticking in boxes, they're throwing it in the corner of a room, and they're just stacking more stuff on it. There's a big difference. But I think with tarantulas, another thing about tarantulas is the fact they really don't require a lot of room to set up. You can have 100 tarantulas in a rather small room, and they can be set up correctly and have enough room to move around, negotiate, have nice enclosures set up. So I think that's another part of it and why people maybe go a little more overboard with tarantulas than they do with, say, snakes or reptiles. With snakes or reptiles, you're going to require, you know, get into the bigger snakes, you require a lot more room. You're going to fit fewer cages in that 10 by 10 room that you have set aside for your exotics, where in tarantulas, you may be able to easily set up 50 cages in there and good size ones at that, because they don't require as much room. So that's another thing that kind of lends itself to the collectability, because I think a lot of us get into it. And how many people out there have done this one? I'll probably end up with, you know, 5 or 6 of these things. I'll probably end up no more than 12. And then 50 spiders later, you're still picking up more spiders. It's because what we do is we set them up. We buy our spider. We get that spider we've been eyeing that we can't wait to get. We set it up well. We're growing it up. We take pictures. We put it on a shelf with all the enclosures we got. We take pictures of them. We show them off on Instagram. We show them off on Facebook. It's just amazing. And then we realize, hey, I have a whole empty shelf here. I got to get another one. So we get more. And then we get more. And then we realize, hey, you know what? I have this 10 by 8 foot wall here. I'm only using about 8 feet of it. I got another 2 feet worth of space. I can put a couple more enclosures in here. So we get more. So you can see how it lends itself to that collection, where our one or two spiders turn into 10, turn into 20, turn into 30. Then there's the fact that slings take up almost no room at all. You can have a little shoebox full of like 30 slings in it, in their little dram bottles or their little 5-ounce deli cups. We can keep a lot of those. the hobby just begs for collection. It's almost like impossible. And I do talk to some people and they intrigue the heck out of me. And I mean that in the most positive way possible, that will say, yep, you know what? I bought three and that's it for me. Maybe someday I'll get another one, but we're good for now. And they stick to it. That's amazing to me because I don't think I will ever get to a point where there isn't some type of spider out there I want to grab up and add to my, for lack of a better term, collection. So that's another reason that they're so collectible and that people find themselves not so much just buying a pet because, hey, I want a pet spider. It becomes, I need all of these spiders because, again, they're fun to display. They have all the different colors. They don't need a lot of room. And then the next thing, they don't require a lot of care. It's why I think they're one of the best starter pets out there because spiders basically don't require a lot of care. They don't require a lot of fussing. They're the majority of them, if one thing we've hopefully learned through all the Tom's Big Spider stuff is they're not that difficult to keep, especially compared to some of our vertebrate animals, some of our furry animals that have to be fed daily. They have to be watered daily. They have to have their cages cleaned weekly or monthly. These guys are so easy to care for. You can keep them on the same substrate for years as long as you're spot cleaning. You can feed them once a week, which really isn't a lot. You can feed them, some people feed them once a month. I speak to folks who feed their adults every 2 months and they do perfectly fine. They fill up a water dish, they feed them some crickets, and they're good to go. And I think that is a huge part of why people get so many of them as well, because a lot of the tarantulas, it's you can have 100 of them and put together a pretty, and if you enjoy, honestly, if you're keeping them, you enjoy working with them. For me, people are like, man, you have 200 plus, isn't that like monotonous? Isn't it terrible? No, that's my happy place. I absolutely, the other day I came home and I was all stressed out and I looked up at Billy, I'm feeding spiders. I go, you know what? This is the least stress I've felt all day. I love it. So it's easy to have a bunch of them and still be able to care for them correctly. In most cases, that's not to say people don't go overboard and get themselves into situations where they have too many and can't care for them correctly. We've gone over that before. That's that difference when you start going from a collector to a hoarder. That's a big one. But I do think that's a huge part of why we end up with, again, collections, because they're easy to care for. And then finally, talking about we've talked about display and how you can display them in your home. And I've kind of alluded to this, but another big part of it is social media. Look at how many Facebook groups there are out there. There used to be when I first got into the hobby, it was the forums were the place to go. I think those are kind of dying out, although Arachnoboards still does well because it's a wealth of information. There's still some good people on there. But the majority of people are on Facebook groups now. And if you go to Facebook groups, what are they? Here's my spider. Show me yours. Here's this species. So show me yours. Here's my girl molting. Here's my girl on my shoulder. Here's my girl watching me play TV. It's everybody showing off. Here's the newest one I got. Can't believe I spent $400 on that. It's everybody showing off and bragging and exposing other keepers to species that they might not have seen before that they now covet themselves. So I think the social nature of it, especially as far as social media is concerned, again, drives people to collect them. We go on there, and I try to stay out of this only because I'm not a huge social media person anyway, to be completely honest. But I'd be lying if I didn't say when I set up my Tom's Big Spires website, part of it was I didn't think anybody was going to go to it, but it was more me just kind of getting out of my system that I wanted to show off these animals and how cool I thought they were. So I totally get that. But I think what happens is people go online, they start showing pictures of their spiders, whether it be a Facebook group, Instagram, they get a lot of attention for it. Other people start seeing, hey, I want to do that too. I want to show off my spiders. I want to get something that everybody's like, wow, I can't believe you got one of these. And they pick one up too. So again, that encourages that collecting. That's the spot that worries me. And I've alluded to this before with the social media aspect and with YouTube and whatnot. That's where people fall into the trap where they want to produce the new big thing to show off in their channel. They want to have new material and they start buying too much and they don't do the research on it. And you get a situation where, again, it's not so much a collection. It's somebody going out buying something specifically to show off in a video and not doing the homework ahead of time. That's the spot where it starts taking a turn where we're not looking at them as animals anymore. We're looking at them as objects. And that does bother me. And again, I think we have to cover why we collect before we get into whether it's good or not, because I think a lot of us, it causes, I know just even taking some notes down for this one, it made me really think about what I do with my collection and why I'm doing this and why I keep as many as I do. And I think that's good every once in a while to stop and hit the pause button and go, what am I doing here? What is the final outcome of this? So I do think that The main point here would be, yes, I think a lot of us do have collections. We can't deny it. We are collecting these animals, and that is not a good look. That is the part of the hobby that people that don't understand tarantulas, that don't understand the tarantula hobby, will come in, look at this, and go, look it, you've just got a bunch of bugs and bottles to put on display. You're not caring for them. You don't care about them as animals. They're more just objects that you can show off. And I think for the majority of us, that is not true. I think we can be collectors, but we can be collectors of pets, if that makes any sense. We're doing it in a way that we still care about the animals. We still love the animals. Using my own example that I just said earlier, I take these guys out and feed them. I get the same types of feelings, probably not as intensely as, say, when my dog Molly climbs up on my lap and gives me a hug and lips my face. She's showing affection back. But when I work with my spiders, there's that calming, that feeling you get like when you pet a dog and you get that little feeling in your chest, like, I get a similar feeling when I see one of them molt, or I see one of them hunt or eat or come out that I haven't seen in a while. We do get that feeling. So I think it's important to recognize, regardless of how we want to spin it, the majority of us are collectors in some shape or form. However, that negative connotation that comes with collectors isn't necessarily appropriate or fair for those of us who do take care of our animals correctly, we may display them, but we also take great joy in it. We take great joy in interacting with them. We treat them correctly. They're well fed, cared for. I think we have to kind of own that. Now, I'm sure there's people out there right now going, well, I only have four of them. I don't collect. And that's totally fine. That's great. But I do think that, again, and I think why this one hit home so much is I have been reluctant to refer to my collection. That's been something that I've said a couple times and things, and I kind of cringe afterwards because I recognize the connotation. When you say collection, it infers objects. You are collecting objects. You shouldn't be collecting living beings. So there's kind of this stigma when you mention that you collect animals. And I think there should be. And I think that's kind of there. We should always be thinking, what are we doing? What is the end game here? Why are we doing this? I think that's important that we keep that in mind. However, I don't think it has to be a negative connotation. And I think we have to be willing to look at the fact that, like, okay, maybe I do collect, but when explaining it to other people, we don't collect these as items. I'm not putting them on shelves, leaving them there, and not spending any time in my Transformers collection. I go up there and every once in a while, I'll take one down, transform it, stick it up as a car, transform another one, turn it into a robot. And that's kind of it. My tarantulas, it's constant. Any of us that work, and I think I'm hoping everybody listening to this can agree with me, we are in those rooms constantly. We are obsessed with these things. This goes beyond just, you know, I'll use this as an example. I've been trying to put together a Series 1 Garbage Pail Kids. I was obsessed with Garbage Pail Kids when I was a kid. I have every single series except Series 1, and I've been painstakingly going and picking up cards on eBay, collecting them. What do? I get these in the mail. I open them up. I go, ooh, awesome. I have this one. It's in good shape too. And I add it to my deck. And that's it. It sits here on my desk and I don't do anything with it. That's kind of a collection. Those are objects. A spider, I get a spider in my room. I set it up. I'm checking on it. I feed it for the first time. Yes, it eats. I feed it for the second time. Oh, good. It's settling in. I'm looking at them constantly. So I think we do need to recognize that although we may be collecting them, the amount of time and the emotions that go into these animals, the feelings we get when we work with them are quite different than any inanimate object that we may collect. You may get the same thrill as getting a comic book that you were looking for years, or an action figure, or whatever it may be, that you may get that same type of thrill when you pick up that tarantula you've been eyeing. But where that thrill quickly dissipates with an inanimate object, with the comic book, with the card, with the action figure, with the movie, with the tarantulas, it grows. It continues. You continue to nurture these guys. You continue to grow them up. We are giving them a lot of love and attention because it's not just, you don't just grab the tarantula sling, you shove it in a vial and there you go, it's on the shelf. You are going to be caring for that thing for many, many, many years. You're going to be doing rehousings, cleanings, feeding it, watching it molt, pulling out the molt, sexing the molt. It's a continuous investment of time and emotion. Again, I picked up, just to make the comparison, what makes this difference. The same day I got in four P. Murinus True Color Form slings, I also got in a couple Garbage Pail Kids. The Garbage Pail Kids were put in the deck. I have not looked at them since. The OBTs, I check on them 2, 3, 4 times a day. I fed them. We got video of them eating. It's a totally different ballgame. So I think that's the part that needs to be conveyed. when people talk about, you know, when they say you have a collection, I think we need to own the fact, yes, the many of us, I won't say everybody, and I'm sure there's people out there like, I don't think I collect. Many of us do actually collect these. However, it's not the same as collecting inanimate objects. We don't treat them the same. The amount of time, care, and energy that go into this hobby, we do legitimately care for them. It makes it quite different. And I think we need to be, for folks that look at it from the outside, that aren't into the hobby, that don't get tarantulas, that don't get why somebody would have one tarantula, never mind a bunch of them, I think we need to be ready and prepared to explain the difference. That we are not just buying these guys and they're inanimate objects that we don't have feelings for. There are a lot of folks out there that name every single tarantula in their collection. There are folks out there that talk to them while they're feeding them. There are folks out there that take pictures of them and show them off in the same way they would show off pictures of their children, even to people that are probably inappropriate to show them off to because they don't care about your giant spider. We've all been there. So I think that's the part we have to concentrate on. Yes, we may collect a lot of them, but the amount of time and care and energy and emotion and, dare I say, love we put into keeping these animals and raising them up, this isn't something where you drop it in a cage and that's it. We just look at that, you know, think of the amount of pets out there that you can buy and just drop into a cage and they stay in that cage their entire life or that enclosure their entire life. We're doing rehousings, we're remodeling, we're setting them up in nicer enclosures, we're making tweaks, we're feeding them, we're watching them molt. All of these things go into it. And I think if we really took a step back and look at it, sure, we're collecting them, but my God, we're emotionally invested in them. I think everybody out there that, or the majority of people out there that are in the hobby, there is a lot of emotion. It's our happy place. It's where we go to unwind. We take great joy out of working with these animals. We don't just buy them, stick them on shelves, and walk away from them. So I think that although the word collection usually insinuates that you're dealing with objects, that couldn't be further from the truth. Even though our tarantulas, our groups of tarantulas, our, you know, numerous tarantulas that we keep in a room may adequately fall under the heading of collection, I think a collection describes it very, very well. That doesn't take into account the fact that the majority of us see these as pets. They see them as animals that need care. We take enjoyment out of delivering the care. For many of us, the times that we, because again, these aren't animals that you can take out and hug. So the time we feel closest to them is when we're feeding them and dropping crickets in. It's why everybody does the feeding videos out there. We love watching them. It's not for the violence of watching, you know, one invertebrate destroy another invertebrate. For a lot of us, it's that feeling of connectiveness that we're the same thing when you feed your dog. You're like, I'm interacting with them in my little way, the best way I know how. When I change their enclosure and I try to make it better, I'm trying to show my love for them, going, look, I'm going to give you a better home. And how many times you put them in there and like, you watch my videos. I'm like, it's your new home, buddy. Come on. It's awesome. So long and short of it, do we collect? Yes, I think a lot of us are collectors. I don't think there's a better word for it out there. However, it's with the caveat that we are collecting pets that we absolutely adore. And the reason why we get more is because they don't require as much maintenance as other pets. We don't get as many chances to interact with them. So I don't know about you guys. A lot of us start buying up more when we get one into pre-molt. There's nothing you can really do with it. You want to interact with your pet. You love your pet. So you pick up another one so you can at least feed it. So you always have something going on. You always have an animal you can interact with, because when you have an animal that really doesn't require much interaction at all, you're starved to kind of interact and play with them, for lack of a better term, or do anything with them. So you pick up more. And I think that's what I've got. I've always got something going on. If one of them's sealed up because it's in pre-molt, there are other ones I can feed and interact with and have that joy of, you know, caring for my animal with. I think that's where a lot of us get into it. I think that's why a lot of us get so many of them. I think that's why it lends itself to collect. You know, again, we've gone through all the points. They check off all the boxes for things you would want to collect. And then if there's any doubt whatsoever in your mind, or if you're trying to convince somebody that, you know, hey, these are more than just objects, we care about these animals a great deal, point them to some of the forums that they have out there, some of the Facebook groups, especially with people showing up pictures of their tarantulas, like one might show off a picture of their purebred dog, or dare I even say it, one might show off a picture of their child. Like, here's mine, here's yours, here's my G poker bees, let's see your G poker bees. And it's all these, oh, they're beautiful, and they talk about it and things they do and little cute personality traits. That's not something you do with an object. That's not something you would do with a comic book, a baseball card, a collectible sticker, a transformer, an action, whatever it may be. There's definitely, we love these animals. We adore these animals. Yes, we get a lot of them, but it's because, again, we love them so much that the more you get, the more interaction you get to have with them. At least that's the way I look at it. Now, again, You can't close this one off without admitting, are there people out there that pick them up as objects? Absolutely. I've covered it before. I think the thing that disgusts me the most is when you see some of these YouTube channels where people are just picking up, constantly getting new unboxing. I got this, I got that. And then you never hear from them again because you know darn well the animal probably died because they didn't do the research. It didn't set it up correctly. Or the ones where somebody goes, oh, I just found my spider was dead. I don't get it. When I checked on it last month, it was doing okay. And they open it up and it's bone dry. There's no water dish. Those are situations where the people really don't, especially the ones that respond with things like, oh, sometimes it happens. Those are people that really don't care for their animals. Those are people that are treating them exactly like objects. Like, oh, well, I'll just go get another one. Those are the ones that give the hobby a terrible name. So I abhor that. I don't agree with that at all. I do think there are also points where people love the animals so much that they end up overwhelmed. They're picking up all these different ones and they can't care for them correctly. Again, these are not inanimate objects. These are not items that you can stick in a plastic bag or stick in a, you know, a sterilized container and show up in your attic because you don't want to look at them anymore. They need that constant care and attention. And I think some people get to the point where they pick up too many too fast. They become overwhelmed. I don't think it's because they necessarily treat them as objects. Again, I think it's because it's too easy to get caught up in this hobby and start buying everything you can get your hands on. That's unfortunate. But I think long and short of it, yes, the majority of us are collectors. We have that collector's gene. I talk to people all the time where we talk about other things we collect along with spiders, but this is totally different. This marries, I think for animal lovers, this marries perfectly that ability to keep animals that we absolutely enjoy and marries it with that inherent impulse we have to collect, and we get the best of both worlds. We get to satisfy that collection gene and we get to satisfy that need to be around animals, to care for animals, to observe animals, to photograph them, to feed them, all the good things that come with it. So I do think it's a positive. I do feel it's funny after going through this whole thing, I took down some basic notes before I started talking and I wasn't sure where it was going to end up. I wasn't sure because I have been uncomfortable to refer to it as my collection for the same reason I'm uncomfortable saying that I'm my dog's master or my dog's owner. I think it kind of it renders them as a little more than inanimate objects. It brings me back to full circle to the beginning of this podcast when I was a kid and all the animals that I absolutely adored and wanted to cuddle and play with and tame down, they were a little more than objects. They were commodities. They were something to be used to make money. I would never go back to that. And if that's why you're in it, and that's, you know, if you're one that's just buying them up going, hey, I can make a bunch of money selling slings, get out. We don't need you. The generally people that want to breed are the ones that love them so much. And then that's the next extension of the hobby for them. Being able to produce offspring is a hugely powerful thing. And to do that and to want to keep the hobby going because of your love of the hobby, a great thing. But again, they're not objects. We don't treat them as objects. Just for proof of that, hop on Instagram or Facebook. You'll see that. But I do think it's something that some of us wrestle with. And Travis, I think that was an awesome question. I thank you for it because it actually allows me now to, I think I now feel better equipped to respond if somebody comes to me and goes, hey, all you do is put these things on shelves. You don't care about them. They're like objects. They're in little bottles and boxes and you don't do anything with them. Now I feel comfortable and going, no, hold on a minute. Yes, I collect them. I love them. But here are some ways that this totally differs from a collection of an inanimate object and be able to go into that. I thank you for that because I think that's going to make it much easier to debate this one now when it comes up. And it's not going to satisfy everybody. There are people out there that just don't get it. I've had some that have walked away going, oh, I didn't realize that. And I have others that walk away going, nope, you're a terrible human being. You should never keep them. You just collect them. They're toys to you or whatever. And you're just never going to change their minds. But again, Travis, awesome question. Hopefully that helps kind of break it down a little bit. I know I kind of went the long way with it, but I do think it's a complicated question and it is one I've wrestled with. So I wanted to give it, you know, as much of a thorough going over as I could. All right, so that will do it for this one. In a moment, I'm going to go feed some of these lovely creatures, and then I'm going to spend probably most of the afternoon trying to upload more podcast videos to YouTube, which has become monotonous as heck. But it's a good thing. I throw on movies and background as background noise as I do it, because a lot of it's just, it takes you like maybe 3 or 4 minutes to actually set up the video, and then you're waiting for it to process, and then you're waiting for it to upload. So it's kind of, it's long, it's monotonous, but it'll be worth it in the end. So if anybody wants to pop over, it's Tom's Big Spiders, the podcast YouTube channel. You can find it over there. But I think the majority of people that are listening here right now already have your preferred way of listening to the podcast. So I'm not going to try to get you, convince you to go over there. It's going to be nothing different except that it's going to be on YouTube. So that'll do it for this one. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys all next time.